On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Historical Society, it is both a state agency and a private membership organization. They have a statutory obligation to collect, house, and make available local government historical records of significance. With their museum steps from the Capitol, they call themselves the state's memory and premier storyteller, and they've had their sights set on a new museum space for decades. Join in on the Wisconsin Historical Society, 800-642-1234. Christian Overland is director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Christian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Great to hear from you.
Good morning. So after decades of will, this new museum is taking shape. Can you give us a status update on what the situation is now on a new museum?
Sure. In December, we launched some internal teams because we hired Ralph Applebaum and Associates as the museum's design team to actually do the exhibitions. And they have done things from the Smithsonian Museums to the First People's Museum in Oklahoma. And we're very happy about them. They're a world-class team. And then we've started interviewing architects and engineers. And we just chose one recently. The Smith Group, again from Washington, D.C., as well as Continuum, who's in our own backyard in Wisconsin, too. And Continuum worked on the Chazen Museum as well.
Okay, so it sounds like those outside contractors are taking shape and you're starting to work with them. Why do you feel like the Wisconsin Historical Society needs a new museum?
Well, we have an incredible story to tell. You know, in thinking about sharing our objects, stories, and lives with the residents of the state of Wisconsin and our region. And here's why. Wisconsin Historical Society is unique compared to other state agencies because we have a national history collection. So we're going to tell the story of Wisconsin in the context of the story of North America. And that's going to be a fantastic experience. We have artifacts that just have not been on exhibit before, ever. And some of the photographs and archives that we have too are nationally known by scholars as well as the objects we have. So we think it's very exciting because we're going to create an American History Center right here in Wisconsin, a State History Center right here in Wisconsin, and we're also going to be operating it in a new way in a post-pandemic museum framework. And what that means is community engagement, new storytelling, co-creating with our communities across Wisconsin as well.
What has been your holdings? What has not been on exhibit ever? Can you give us a for instance?
Sure. So we have, going back to our beginnings in 1846, you know, we were founded as a membership organization in the territory before the state of Wisconsin. So things like a letter from Thomas Jefferson to George Rogers Clark, talking about or his idea of going out west on an expedition. Okay. 20-some years later, when Jefferson's president, he sends Clark's younger brother with Meriwether Lewis, and that's the Lewis and Clark expedition. Hmm. We have actually a diary from that exhibition. We have Daniel Boone's manuscripts. We have one of the oldest surviving maps in the world that shows North America on it from 1513. So I can go on and on and on. Those are great objects. And the other thing too, you know, when you do a project like this, you recover objects that, you know, the organization knows that they have, but maybe it's their time to tell the story. So for instance, we have the first electric dynamo from Menlo Park, New Jersey. Thomas Jefferson used that dynamo to test and publicly demonstrate his electrification light bulb system. Hmm. And it's here in Wisconsin. It's a true piece of the cross, if you will, of American scientific history.
We're talking with Christian Overland, director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. He's been in that role since 2018. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's talk money for the construction of the museum. I mean, we had heard estimates of $100 million, $120 million. Then, you know, the state required a match that was set back in 2018 of $30 million to release the state $70 million. Can you give us can you put these numbers together for us?
Absolutely. So to make it real simple, The building itself, which is going to be over 100,000 square feet, right across the street from the Capitol on Capitol Square, is with exhibits and the building, is going to be $100 million. Okay. And so when we open that up, that's the kind of capital investment for that. We're also raising money for an endowment, $15 million for an endowment to operate the museum, to help operate it for the future and help future stewards, you know, after this team is long gone in the decades, to operate the future museum. The other thing is transition costs. So $5 million of transition costs that help us do things like move the collection to the State Archival Preservation Facility, care for the collection, as well as doing some things around the state, like still operating, because we don't want to stop our service to all of our residents in the state. So we're actually doing something that's a pop-up exhibits around the state and pop-up programs too, to keep everything going.
And that's interesting you say about the transition and the future of the museum work. I'm wondering if a new museum requires additional resources for, everything from curatorial to upkeep, things that we may not as museum goers think about.
That's absolutely true, Kate. So this museum is more than double the size. It's close to triple the size. And right now, about 22,000 school groups can get through a year and visit the Capitol too. And just to give you an idea about the size and scope change, we actually book the Capitol tours. So if 20,000 kids come through our museum, there's actually 76,000 that go through the state. So there's, a lot of kids that can't just go through our museum. So building it in that size is what we need to do. The other piece about it too is that when you build something that big, there's more exhibits going in. We're going to have close to a 10,000 square foot traveling and changing gallery to bring in exhibits, as well as doing temporary ones. So yes, there's more resources that we have there too. So an endowment is important to offset those resources.
And, here we're talking in the State Capitol report, there was a moment when the state moved the preferred site to a full block, the site of a massive 1950s office building, with the intention of including a new veterans museum. What was that thinking about a different location?
Well, the thinking was, is could we actually build something where we are today? And there was a idea of that we could do it if we combined ourselves with a public-private partnership, but we moved from that because we wanted to actually build a freestanding museum. And we started looking around Capitol Square, and that state office building, which is called Jeff One, was one of the options that we were working with the department administration. And along with the Veterans Museum, Wisconsin's Veteran Museum, they're doing something for the future too. So there was an idea, could we combine it together? So from the generosity of donor next to us, we've known a long time, we're living next to the museum, a couple office buildings he sold to us. And we were able to build right where we are today, expand the footprint, and then have a freestanding museum for all the residents of Wisconsin.
Okay, and so before we tie a bow on this, you've selected the architecture and engineering firm. When can we start to see construction begin?
So I think the way to think about this one is it's going to take us about a year to kind of get the engineering and architecture done. So when we get into 2023, we'll probably at the summertime start showing different elevations of what's going on, if not sooner in 23. And then construction, we're on schedule to actually start in January of 24 to demolish the current building and the other buildings.
Okay. Christian Overland leads the Wisconsin Historical Society as we discuss how to preserve records, history, what should be on display and why. Much earlier in the pandemic, its staffers pivoted when museums closed and they had a role in supporting public health and workforce development. We'll ask about that. More to discuss about the State Register of Historic Places and records management of state materials. Your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a moment with Christian Overland here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report as we talk about the work of the Wisconsin Historical Society. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Register, it is Wisconsin's official list of state properties determined to be significant to our state's heritage. Established in 1989, mirrors the National Register, and in Wisconsin includes roughly 2,600 sites at the moment. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Historical Society Director Christian Overland stays with us for about 10 more minutes. Moving on to the State Register, can you explain how properties get nominated, how they get added to the State Register?
Oh, sure, Kate. There's actually two pathways to do that, to get your property, which could be a cultural place, it could be architecture, it could be a cultural landscape, to do that. One, our team, the State Historic Preservation Office, may approach you and say, this is really important, and they would want to, you know, start that process. Or two, you could go to our website and via submission of a preliminary National Register questionnaire, they would actually review the questionnaire, the State Historic Preservation Office, and get back to you. So one is we would nominate as well as the public can. So wherever you are in Wisconsin, if you think you have a property or you know of a property that you really want to work on to make sure that it gets recognized on the state and or national registry, because the State Historic Preservation Office does that as well, we're the one place stop shopping you can do that. Just go to our website, wisconsinhistory.org, and you can connect to that.
Are there official plaques? How do you identify that a building is cared for under the state's official register?
So it's once there's an eligibility that happens, and that's really kind of, you know, does it have historical significance on the state level first to be recognized as to be on the listing of state registered places? We actually reach out and work with people in terms of having them go through a series of kind of map identification, location, researching the history, photography as well too. And it's a long process, but once you get on a national and the state register, and still talking about the state of Wisconsin register, it's actually a very satisfying process too. I'm very proud of our State Historic Preservation Office because they're not only just about compliance and how you can actually do these things, you know, through a series of steps, but we also have webinars and educational opportunities and a well-informed staff that loves to talk to the public about it.
So how does the state work with local governments, local individuals to preserve a building that could be subject to demolition?
So in terms of what happens with that is, you know, we work with certified local governments. And what I mean by certified local government, that means, you know, like if you're living in a town that has a historic district or you put together a historic district commission, we work with you to set that up. And then that becomes a local law and criteria issue that if it's going to be damaged or if there's an impingement from construction or something like that, that happens on that level. We provide resources through the register for people to understand that. And then also if people are concerned about their buildings being demolished, I would say the first thing to do is put them on the registry. It doesn't prevent everything in the future from that happening, but what it does do is it educates the public about the importance of the structure.
I've noticed that the number of historic properties on the Wisconsin Register is going down. I think it was near 3,000 some years ago. Now we're at about 2,600. Why would it be going down?
So there's a process of delisting too. There's changes that happen. Like you said, sometimes there's a demolition that happens. Sometimes it's a city growth. Sometimes there's impingement. But when that happens, the State Historic Preservation Office actually mediates that process and documents that process. So the history is not long gone forever. It's actually held in the state archive through the State Historic Preservation Office.
Circling back for a moment with the museum, will there be any teardown of a historic building to build the new museum?
There's actually two structures next to us that are from the late or from the early 20th century. And yes, those are contributing structures that are going to be for the museum. And as far as the museum too, well, in terms of its educational outreach as well, One of the things is that when we think about why it's important to build next to the state capitol, going back to having the children coming in, the students from all over the state to visit the state capitol, but also this is more than a bricks and mortar project. We're also reaching out to all 72 counties digitally to connect them as well. So what we hope to have is people telling their history across the state. So if you're, say, in Bayfield County and you wanted to share your history through this network, you could do so through the new museum in Wisconsin.
So you see, like, a new museum construction would be more important to our future than it would be to hold on to some much older buildings. Is that what I'm hearing?
So I would look at it this way in terms of, like, our value proposition for history across the state and education. We look at it in terms of, we're going to tell the story of those two buildings. We're going to tell the story of the landscape around the state capitol, the changes of the land around the state capitol too, because there's been a lot of change. And as the State Historic Preservation Office, we want to keep educating people about that change. But in terms of our educational mission and connecting to people around the state and giving people an opportunity to do that and moving out these artifacts that that are national, and so people can understand their history in a national context, yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. It's not looking at it as like we want to tear these buildings down, but this is actually the perfect place to build the museum for the next 150 years.
Talking with Christian Overland, director of the Wisconsin Historical Society, as we discuss the society's work in preservation around the state, its role in state government. With your questions, 800-642-1234. So, Christian, by state law, the Historical Society is required to collect, maintain, and make available local government records of significance. Can you explain what might be in your holdings that fall into that category?
Sure. So as the state archive, and we have a state archivist too on the staff, what they do is they have a whole department that starts to archive from state records to county records too. And so to give you an idea of the 1918 pandemic that happened, we actually have the public health records in terms of like how those commissions got set up. And so we were able to kind of look at that immediately and let the state know that this is how the 1918 pandemic was dealt with as far as health commissions. And it went down to the town and city level at that point in time. That is really significant because we were able to use that and give that information to the Department of Health Services too. So that's a really important part, as well as other elements of county history. And we have archivists that work with all the counties. The only one county that is not in the state archive, and that's Milwaukee County. They have their own museum, Milwaukee County Historical Society, that works with the county of Milwaukee that preserves their collections.
Some things I didn't realize that were there would be like land deeds, divorce case records, court case filings. When do governments turn or local government turn over or local courts turn over their records to you? How does that work?
So there's a retention process. Great question, Kate. And there's varied levels of it. So what it is, there's standards that our archivists, you know, walk out and, you know, talk to the counties, talk to them on phone calls, meet with commissions in different counties too, and talk about the retention of records and how they move through the process. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes maybe a decade or 5 years, depending on what it is. But to your point about local history, one of the things that's become more important to people is genealogy. Mm-hmm. And what we have is we have all the state licenses for everything. So a barbershop license, a cosmetology license, a steam boiler license. And so we have a partnership with Ancestry.com too, where we're starting to move some of these things, you know, out there to make them more digitally available as well. So that's another important thing, is that people can actually find their family stories through our collections as well too, and find out, you know, their pathway from the past of how they got here today.
And very quickly, we're about out of time. How would a person access these files?
The genealogical collections and other files? Mm-hmm. You can actually, a couple of ways. One is digitally, you can connect with our archivists and you can send a note with them, and they can let you know what we have online. You can look online right away too. There's a genealogical section online as well. And we have genealogical archivists that are just devoted to that. And also we have webinars where people can actually participate, and they're specific for different communities as well. And you can all come down. Everybody has the opportunity to visit the state, Historical Society State headquarters, where we have the actual library and archive room where you can sit there and just, you know, ask
pour
to
over
see
it.
You want.
Yes. Yeah. Christian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Have a terrific day.
You too. Christian Overland, director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Ahead this hour, the State Capitol Report continues with the top economic development official, WEDC Secretary Missy Hughes, joins us. Back for more State Cap after a news update on the Ideas Network.